Wine? I was the goddamn alpha. Why was she telling me what to do? Right now. God damn it. So I did. It took a few hours, and I may have stumbled on a few parts, and glossed over others, because even though it had been 2 years, the deaths of Thomas and my mother were still sharp enough to cut. But I tried to leave out as little as possible. I felt I owed it to her, for all the shit I'd put her through since I'd known her. To give her credit, she rarely interrupted, and only when she didn't understand something and needed it explained further. The longer I talked, more than I'd ever talked before, the quieter she got. At the end, she stared at me for a long while. My throat was sore, so I didn't say anything back, waiting for her to decide whatever she was going to do. Finally, she said,
"And all of that truly happened?"
"Yes."
"You didn't say much about him."
I played dumb. "Who?" She knew, but she said,
"Joe."
"Anyway." I tried to swallow down the bitterness that rose like bile. "There isn't much to say." She rolled her eyes.
"Aside from the fact that he's your mate, and imprinted on you like you're some creepy-ass Twilight fan fiction?"
I shrugged. "I don't know what most of that means."
"I do,"
Rico said, "and I'll admit that's not something I'm very proud of right now."
"You have a mystical moon destiny with Joe,"
Jesse said, sounding exasperated. I squinted at her.
"A what?" "Your thing, with Joe."
"It's not," she sighed.
"God, I am so glad I got out of that when I did."
"It wasn't destiny," I said, ignoring the little jab. "It was a choice. He chose me."
"And you chose him back, after you found out what it meant."
"I had, but a lot of good that was doing me, so I said nothing."
"Explains a lot," she said.
"Does it?" She looked at me as if I was an idiot. "What?" She said,
"Ox, Joe hated me."
"He didn't hate you." "Disliked strongly, maybe, but hate? I didn't think Joe was capable of hate. Not even Richard Collins. Not back then. Now, though, I didn't know about now. I didn't know him anymore to say what he was now."
"You're stupid," she said seriously. "This whole thing is stupid."
"Kind of," I agreed.
"Agreeing with me isn't going to get you off the hook," she warned me.
"I know." Well, I hadn't known, but I did now, so maybe I wouldn't have to agree with her as much.
"That explains why you've been moping around for the last couple of years."
"I haven't been moping." "Kind of moping," Rico said. "Maybe not all of the time." "But most of the time," Tanner said. "He stares off into the distance sometimes," Chris added helpfully, "with his quiet strength and his angst." "I hate all of you," I said very seriously.
"I didn't say anything,"
Robbie said.
"He was never at college," Jesse said. "So that's another lie you told me. Told everyone."
"It wasn't supposed to be a lie."
"Why haven't you gone looking for him?"
Like that hadn't crossed my mind before. "I wouldn't even know where to start. And I promised him I'd stay here, look after the others, the pack."
"You wouldn't be able to find him by your mystical moon connection?"
"My mystical... Jesus, stop calling it that."
"He gave you a wolf made of stone that essentially promised him to you forever," she said flatly. "If that's not a mystical moon connection, then I don't know what is."
"Sort of what it is," Robbie said, wincing as I glared at him. "Sorry, Ox."
"So you're just going to sit here and do nothing," she said,
sounding strangely disappointed. "I'm not doing nothing." "Your English is so good," Rico said.
"You're not finding him."
"He made his choice," I snapped.
"And you're just going to let it happen."
"It's already been happening. Just because you're finding out about all of this now doesn't mean the rest of us haven't been dealing with it for years."
"I don't understand why you haven't done anything about it. About him."
"What could I have done?" I asked, voice harsh. "There were obviously things that were more important than others." For the first time since she'd walked into the shop, Jessie's face softened.
It was close to pity, and I didn't want that from her. Look, it's... Ox, I don't know that anything was more important than you. She reached over and squeezed my hand. Maybe you didn't see it, but I did. The way he looked at you? Her smile was sad. You were everything to him, and I don't think that's changed.
You can't know that. I pulled my hand away. She frowned at me. We don't even know if he's still...
I cut myself off and shook my head. It doesn't matter. He's not here. They're not here. We are, and I have a job to do. Something that I never thought I'd have to do, but there it is. So yes, werewolves are real. Yes, apparently I am the alpha, or something close to it. And I'm sorry you were hurt because of this, but I will make sure that doesn't happen again.
How? She asked. You can't promise anything like that.
No, I said, but I can do my best. And it'd make things easier if you were one of us.
I don't want to be bitten, she said quickly. That's not
even a possibility right now, I said. But if you agree, if you become part of this, you'll naturally start to defer to me. I don't even understand how it works, but it'll happen.
Why don't we just see how this goes? Jessie said, but I could already see her agreeing, whether she knew it yet or not.
It didn't take her long to decide. Not that I expected it to. Elizabeth took her into the forest a week later, scolding us not to follow as she needed to talk to Jessie alone, woman to woman. Jessie looked slightly uncomfortable at the thought, but mostly intrigued, so I let it go. Elizabeth wouldn't hurt her. They came back 4 hours later, flushed and bright and happy. Jessie was laughing, and Elizabeth was smiling, the lines around her eyes and mouth less pronounced.
She'll do just fine, Elizabeth said to me, trailing her fingers along my shoulders as she passed me by.
And that was that. Others came that year. After the Omegas had taken Jessie, it had been quiet, though we'd been prepared. Robbie did his part and kept in touch with those above him, the gruff man. Alpha Hughes every now and then, though I think that was getting more and more infrequent, given that he was my beta now. She never asked to speak to me. I never asked to speak to her. I didn't know how much longer she'd let this go on. Sometimes at night, I'd lie awake and wonder if she'd come and try to take them away from me, because I wasn't really what they needed. She didn't, though, even though every day I waited for the other shoe to drop. They still looked for Richard Collins, and Osmond, and Robert Livingstone. They never found them. And I think they were still looking for Joe, too, because he was an alpha that had fallen off the grid. It wasn't so much about bringing him home as it was keeping tabs on him. Robbie assured me he didn't relay pack business to anyone who wasn't pack. I believed him, because I trusted him. He wouldn't lie to me. Not about that. I was sure. But others came again. Jessie, who had always been a strong woman, refused to ever be the damsel in distress again. She threw herself into the training with the others, soon surpassing the other humans. The look on her brother's face the first time she swept his feet out from under him with a well-timed swing of a wooden sparring staff was proud and shocked and slightly angry all at the same time. She stood above him, grinning, the staff resting against her shoulder, a light sheen of sweat on her forehead.
Who's next? She'd asked, as Rico and Tanner tried to quietly leave without getting noticed.
They were noticed. 10 minutes later, they were both in the dirt, Jessie crowing above them. So when others came, we were ready. But they weren't Omegas. The first was just a man, and he brought news of Joe. I was at the shop late, filling out order invoices for the next month. Chris normally took care of this, but I'd let him off the hook as he'd had a date with a girl from the next town over. It was casual, he'd assured me, at least for now. I didn't want to think what would happen if it became more than that.
Jessie assured me that it was fine, that she was nice and sweet, and to stop worrying about things that hadn't happened yet. It didn't work that way, but it was a nice thought. I was contemplating packing up and finishing the rest of the invoices the next day. There were already three threatening texts on my phone, one from Mark, the other two from Elizabeth, telling me that if I didn't get home within the hour, they'd be coming for me. They weren't idle threats, so I decided to head out. Just as I switched off the light, there was a knock at the front door of the shop, a sharp rap against the glass. I paused. Whoever it was, they weren't one of mine. It was after 9. It probably wasn't someone looking for an oil change. I picked up my phone and hesitated just a moment. But it was better to be safe than sorry. I pulled up our group message and sent a single word. Stand by. I got a response from everyone within 20 seconds. Even Chris. I was pleased, even as I felt the bonds between us all flare. I pushed as much calm, peace, love, pack, back as I could, hoping it'd be enough. Because it was nothing. Well, it was probably nothing. The knock came again. Whoever it was seemed persistent. Gordo's wards were still up. I had faith in them, even if I didn't have faith in the man who'd cast them. Not really. Not anymore. But Gordo had told me that even though he was strong, and even though he was sure of what he could do, magic wasn't infallible. It wasn't the be-all and end-all. Something had to give one day, he'd told me. But I didn't have to worry about that, because he'd be back by then. That's what he'd told me. And I had believed him. I had my crowbar. I never went anywhere without it now. It was an extension of me, and I kept it close at all times. And Alpha kept his pack safe. The crowbar was one of the ways I knew how to do that. I picked it up from where it leaned against my desk, its weight familiar. I didn't think of the violence anymore, how easy it would be for me to kill whoever it was that came for what was mine. If I did, I was sure my hands would shake, sure I would hesitate. I didn't have time for that. Not anymore. I moved through the darkened shop. Even the sign for Gordo's was dark, turned off when the shop was closed. The light from the office couldn't be seen from the front of the shop, so whoever it was had no way of knowing someone had been there, unless they'd been watching. I narrowed my eyes, letting them adjust in the dark. The knocking came again. Soft, polite raps against the glass. The door didn't shutter. The knock wasn't angry, just insistent. I pushed through the door from the shop to the reception area, moving slowly. There was the outline of a person standing at the front door, backlit by the hardware store sign across the street that Harvey always forgot to set on the timer. Whoever it was didn't seem to have anything in their hands. But I knew that didn't mean anything. Weapons could be hidden in sleeves. Fangs could descend. Gordo had told me that whatever I could think of was out there, and even after all this time, I could still think of many, many things. I switched on the lights. It was a man. An older man. Face scruffy with gray and white stubble. Dark eyes blinking against the sudden burst of fluorescence. He frowned a little as he watched me, head cocked. Then he smiled, teeth big and crooked. He knocked on the glass again. "We're closed," I said, raising my voice. The smile widened. "I'm not here about my truck, Ox." I kept my face blank. "How do you know my name?" "Everyone knows your name," he said through the glass. "You're not exactly unknown around these parts. All I had to do was ask. The folks at the diner are really partial to you." "Why were you asking about me?" "Open the door. It's best we talk face to face." "Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen." The smile slid off his face. "I could just break the glass." "Then you'd be committing a crime." He snorted. "Call the police.
Have me arrested. You won't get to hear what I have to say. Why should I care about anything you have to say? Because of your wolves. I tensed, alert, angry. It was a threat, I thought. It felt like a threat. My wolves, I said. I don't know what you mean by that. He rolled his eyes. That's what you're going with? I've heard you're not as stupid as you look, Oxnard. Don't start now. Who are you? David King, he said with a tiny little bow. At your service. I don't know you. No, he agreed. But I know you. And maybe I was getting tired of people saying that to me. You're not a wolf. Human as they come, which apparently is more than I could say for you. And you come here, I said, baring my teeth, into my territory. Your territory, he said, sounding amused. How fascinating. I wonder how that works. You haven't taken the bite. There's been no one here to bite you. I said, you should know my pack is ready, in case. In case? He asked. In case of what?
Anything.
You would kill me?
If I needed to. If you threatened me and mine.
You're not like the others.
Others?
Wolves.
I'm not a wolf.
No, he said. But close. Closer than any human should have any right to be. How do you do that?
What do you want?
I came to deliver a message.
Deliver it.
He blinked. That's it? I said nothing. He sighed. I thought this would be more dramatic, honestly.
Sorry to disappoint.
In that, yes, but you, never. A human alpha. Never heard of such a thing. I can see why he was so desperate for me to come here. I was tired of his games.
Who?
I growled, and felt a surge of satisfaction when his eyes widened slightly. Joe, he said. Joe Bennett sent me. Things went fuzzy, like that old TV that my daddy used to fuck around with, twisting the rabbit ears until he got a picture that popped and scrolled. I was static, and snow, and blood rushing through veins.
Joe, I croaked out.
Got your attention, have I? David said and smiled again. Good. Yes, he did have my attention. It was not a thing he should have wanted. He didn't have time to react when I rushed the door, curling my right arm into my chest, breaking through the glass with my shoulder. I grunted as the glass shattered around us, sharp stings prickling along my skin. David let out a low cry and tried to stumble back, arms pinwheeling. I crashed into him, knocking both of us off our feet. He landed on his back on the sidewalk, glass crunching underneath him. I pushed myself up before he could counter, straddling his stomach, pressing the crowbar up and under his jaw, the sharp tip digging into the soft skin. One push, I said, and this goes into your brain. Impressive, he wheezed. He stopped struggling. There was a thin cut from the glass along his right cheek, blood dribbling down toward his ear. I didn't expect that. I should have, but I didn't.
Where is he?
Jesus Christ, how much do you weigh? I can't breathe.
Last chance, I snarled at him.
I don't know where he is.
You're lying.
I'm not. I swear to Christ, I'm not here to hurt you or your pack. I'm trying to help you, you overgrown.
Is he alive?
What?
Is he alive?
Yes, yes, last time I saw him, yes.
When?
3 months ago.
Where?
Alaska.
Who was with him?
His brothers. A witch. I didn't ask their names. I pressed harder. Blood welled around the tip of the crowbar.
What did you do to them?
Nothing. Nothing. They saved me. Jesus Christ, they saved me.
From what?
Richard Collins. And I paused. He wasn't lying. I didn't know how I knew, but I did. This man wasn't lying. and he was the closest thing I'd had to Joe in almost 3 years.
What did he say? I asked, voice hoarse.
A message. You said you had a message.
If you would just get off of me, tell me what it is, I roared in his face, spittle flying.
He said not yet. He said for me to tell you not yet. He said you'd know what it meant.
Not yet. That fucking bastard.
Anything else? I asked coldly.
No, no, just Oxnard Matheson, Green Creek, Oregon. Not yet. Not yet. Not yet.
David King had been a hunter of wolves years before. He was raised in the King clan, his father and grandfather before him doing the same work. He'd been raised to kill anything with sharp teeth. But after his first kill at the age of 17, after he'd seen the light in a female beta's eyes die out as she choked on her own blood because of him, he'd quit. He'd been shunned by his clan, banned from them. That had been almost 40 years ago. They'd been the ones to massacre the family of Richard Collins. David had taken no part in it. It was after his time. But there weren't many kings left. They'd gone into hiding, because they were dying out, one by one.
Throat's torn out, David said, wincing as he plucked a small shard of glass from his side.
Blood spread on the walls, a message from the wolves.
What message?
David sighed.
That he was coming for all of us.
David had gone into hiding, using old familial connections to stay one step ahead of Richard and the Omegas. Most hunter clans turned him away, not wanting any part of a feud that would surely result in their deaths. But there were some with which old debts were owed, and he was able to go stretches of days, even weeks, without looking over his shoulder.
There were times when I thought maybe I was good, he said, free, because I didn't have anything to do with my father and grandfather. I didn't take part in that massacre. Granddad was long dead. Cancer, if you can believe that shit. Man goes his whole life fighting against tooth and claw and gets knocked down by cancer.
What about your father? I asked quietly.
David laughed. It was a hollow thing. Old man, he was. Memory long gone. He was in a nursing home in Topeka. Heard they had to scrape what was left of him off the walls.
1 month turned into two, turned into three, and David was starting to think he'd been forgotten, that he didn't even register on any radar.
That's all it takes, he said. Complacency. Just one moment of complacency, and you get sloppy. Maybe I showed my face to people who weren't supposed to see it. Maybe I left my scent somewhere it wasn't supposed to be. Don't know, really. But he found me.
Outside Fairbanks. The snows were melting, grass poking through bright and green, and then he'd been there.
He asked me if I knew who he was, David said. Just showed up at my door and knocked. Need as you please.
David didn't even need to answer. Richard Collins must have seen the look on his face, because he laughed when David tried to shut the door and go for his gun. He'd almost made it, but he thought Richard had let him.
It was a game, he said. I think it was just a game to him. The big bad wolf had huffed and puffed and then he knocked my fucking door down.
The next thing David knew, he was strung up in his own temporary home, arms tied and stretched out above his head, legs bound together.
He cut me, David said, lifting up his shirt. His torso was a mass of scars, some still mottled pink, most thick and rigid and white. They crisscrossed over his chest and stomach, wrapping around his sides to his back where I couldn't see. It looked like he'd almost lost a nipple.
With his claws, for hours. The thing about pain is that you can take a lot of it before you pass out.
I took a lot of pain that day.
He was delirious by the time it ended.
1 minute there was Richard, 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 and the next he was gone. And there was a red-eyed wolf in front of me. An alpha.
Joe, I whispered. Joe, David agreed. Joe Bennett. I'd heard what had happened to Thomas Bennett. Never met the wolf myself, but I'd heard about him. Most everyone had, if you were in the know. He was this legend, you know. The closest thing to a dynasty the wolves ever had. I have no love for wolves, okay? Some of them are fucked up. Some of them are monsters. But humans can be, too. I should know. I've seen it. But Thomas, he was always off limits for most people. Sure, there were those who said they'd hunt him down one day, just so they could say they'd hunted the alpha of all the wolves. But no one ever did. It was just shit they spoke to make themselves seem better than they were. Apparently Richard had been gone a good hour before Joe had found David. There were two other wolves and a witch. They'd patched him up, asked him questions. Joe had been angry. Why? Because he'd been so close to Richard, David said. Apparently, it had been the closest they'd gotten to him, or so they said. They left almost immediately, but not before Joe had pulled him aside, eyes burning red, asking him to deliver a message. Not yet. I scowled at him. And it took you 3 months to get here? You try being almost gutted by a crazed werewolf, David snapped. I needed time to recover. And I needed to make sure he wasn't going to find me again. I didn't have to come here. And he was right, of course. Though part of me almost wished he hadn't. Because not yet wasn't enough. How did they look? I asked. Did they look... Were they okay? David smiled sadly at me. Tired, he said. They looked tired. Didn't talk with the others, not really. But they were all tired. I nodded, because I couldn't think of anything else to say. Then, he doesn't know, does he? What? I asked. About you. How you're an alpha. No, I don't think so. Then, how did you? I grew up in this life, kid. There are some things you learn. Tricks of the trade, I guess. The red eyes give it away, mostly. I don't have red eyes. That's why I said mostly. When you're in the presence of an alpha, you just know, okay? There's this sense of power. Of something more. Especially with an alpha in his own territory. I've met one other alpha, aside from you and Joe, back when I was a kid. You all felt the same. He cocked his head at me. How did you do it? I didn't do anything, I said, feeling scrubbed raw. It just happened. Jesus, kid. I don't envy you. Why? Because people won't understand. He sounded like the gruff man. I don't give a shit about those people. They don't care about that either. As long as they leave us alone, they can do what they want. Do you really think they'll do that? Let them come, I said, voice low and dangerous. We've dealt with worse. David squirmed in his chair, just enough that I knew he'd gotten the point. Do you have a place to stay? He laughed. Not here, he said. Never here. Especially in an alpha's territory? I'm leaving just as soon as we're done here. He found me once, which means he can find me again. Gotta keep moving, for as long as I can. That's no kind of life. Maybe, he said. But it's the only one I have now. He'll end this. Joe will. Kid, I don't doubt you believe that. And maybe he will. But I'm not going to take any chances. I'm a ghost now, you see? And maybe one day I won't have to be anymore. But until the day I hear that Richard Collins has had his head separated from his body, I'll just be haunting the roads. He stood up slowly, wincing as he did. Sorry about that, I said. About what? The whole window, glass, thing. He snorted. I came into an alpha's territory unannounced. I think I got off pretty easy. He had. Still. It happens, he said. Been through worse. though I can't say I won't feel this tomorrow. Ain't as young as I used to be. I'll show myself out. It's been interesting. He turned to walk away. You shouldn't talk about me, I said quietly. He paused. How's that? About what you've seen here. About me. He snorted. Nobody to talk to, even if I could. It's better that way. I ain't going to be ratting on you, Alpha. No worries about that. I didn't stand. I felt heavy. Weighted. He made his way to the office door. His hand was on a doorknob when he stopped. You know, he said without turning around. There was something about him. When he said your name, there was this light in his eyes. I thought maybe he was all rage and anger, lost to his wolf, an Alpha Omega maybe, violet and red mixing together. But he said your name and, I don't know, there was something different about him then. It felt green. I don't know if that makes sense. Thought you should know. Then he was gone. Stand down. False alarm. Just some kids. Broke a window. The pack responded immediately with messages of relief. Are you sure? Elizabeth asked. Yes. She didn't respond. I stayed in the office long into the night. Not yet, I thought. Not yet. I didn't tell them about David King. It seemed easier that way. Robbie kissed me toward the end of the third year. I wish that I said I could have seen it coming. I didn't, though. That one was on me. One moment we were walking through the woods, just him and me, as I tried to do with each of my betas, laughing and talking about nothing in particular. And the next, his lips were on mine. Clumsy things. His hands against my chest. His breath on my face. He was warm and sweet, and I hated myself that I didn't push him away. I could say that I was startled. I could say that I didn't expect it. But the fact remains, I didn't push him away. Not at first. I didn't kiss him back. I just stood there, laughter dying in my throat, hands at my sides, eyes wide. He didn't move much, just a press that held for one, and two, and three, and four, and then he stepped away, heart jackrabbiting around in his chest, lips slick. His tongue darted out quickly, like he was chasing the taste of me. We stared at each other. I didn't know what to do. He said, Ox, I held up my hand. I thought on it. I really did. Because it'd be so easy. To take. Right here. Right now. I hadn't been with anyone since before Joe. I hadn't planned on it either. But I wasn't sure where I fit with Joe's plans anymore. And it would be so easy. And I liked him, Robbie. I really did. He was nice, and kind, and handsome. Anyone would be lucky to have that. And I could. But I could never give him what he wanted, what he deserved. Because Robbie deserved someone who could give their whole heart. And I'd given mine away a long time ago, to a blue-eyed boy who'd stood on a dirt road and waited for me. Robbie, I sighed. I shouldn't have done that, he mumbled, looking down and scuffing a boot in the dirt. Maybe, I said. But it's not a bad thing. It's not? A faint glimmer of hope. Because it can't be a thing at all. He sighed, shoulders slumping. Because of Joe. Because of Joe. He's not here. No, he's not. Ox, he's not here, but that doesn't matter to me. Maybe one day it will, but not now. I just wanted. I said, hey, it's nothing to worry about. It's okay. It happens. He was getting frustrated.
You're my friend, he said, and my alpha. I want to be something. For you. I know you had Jesse before, and I thought, maybe I could be after. If there could be an after.
You already are something to me.
I reached out and hooked my fingers under his chin to tilt his head up.
You're more than I could have hoped for.
He gave me a pained smile. But not enough.
It's not about being enough, I said. It's about what's right.
I'm not right for you, because I'm right for someone else. You'll feel the same one day, when you meet them.
He gave a short bark of laughter.
Maybe, but...
He shook his head.
No one has believed in me like you have.
I don't know if I want to feel any different.
You're my friend, I told him quietly. And that is good enough for me. I hope it can be good enough for you.
He nodded, and I dropped my hand. We continued walking through the trees. After a while, he said,
You must really love him to do what you've done.
He'd do the same for me, I said, knowing it was true.
No matter how else I felt, I believed that with everything I had.
And we walked on.
That night, I dreamt of him. He was waiting for me on the dirt road, the sun filtering through the leaves, little splashes of light on the ground like puddles of rippling water. He smiled so brightly as I reached my hand for his, our fingers curling together like they always had. We walked slowly toward the house at the end of the lane. We didn't speak. We didn't have to. It was enough just to be. Robbie was awkward around me for a few weeks after that. He stammered and blushed and avoided me when he could. Elizabeth smiled and said it happened every now and then.
He'd be very lucky, she said to me as we sat on the porch watching the sunset. Both of you would.
I belong to someone else, I said.
Do you?
Yes.
I'm glad for that.
And she never brought it up again. More Omegas came. We were stronger then. Better. Faster. More complete. They prowled the edges of the wards, teeth snapping. There had to be at least 15 of them. Maybe 20.
Human. One spat at me.
I said, I'll only tell you once.
Violet eyes flared.
Leave, while you still can. They snarled at me. I tapped my crowbar against my shoulder.
If that's the way it's going to be.
My pack roared behind me, humans and wolves alike. The Omegas took a step back, suddenly unsure. But that was as far as they got. 3 years. 1 month. 26 days.
Chapter 26. Home. It was a Wednesday. We were at the garage when I felt the wards change, like they were shifting, like they were breaking. I was in the office, and it felt like I'd been struck by lightning.
The fuck was that? I heard Tanner say, out in the shop as he dropped something metal to the floor.
Jesus Christ, Rico muttered.
Ox, Chris called out. You...
The door to the waiting area slammed open, Robbie skittering through the garage as he ran toward the office.
Did you feel that? He demanded as he came through the door. Are you okay?
I'm fine, I said through gritted teeth, even though it felt like my skin was electrified.
It was the wards. Something happened to them.
Robbie paled.
More Omegas?
I shook my head.
Something different. Something else.
The others crowded in the doorway, Chris's phone already to his ear even as mine rang. I heard Chris say something to Jessie as soon as she picked up.
Elizabeth, I breathed as I put my own phone to my ear.
You felt it, she said.
Yes, what is it?
I don't know, she said. Something is coming.
Were the wards broken?
No, I don't think... It's like they changed, somehow.
Robert?
I don't know, Ox. I think it's coming this way.
You stay there, I growled. With Mark. We're coming.
Be careful.
I hung up the phone. You hear that? Chris said to Jesse. Get to the house.
Keep her on the phone, I told Chris. I don't want her there before us.
Chris nodded as I stood.
Robbie, Tanner, with me. Rico, go with Chris. You follow behind us. We get to Jesse, she leaves her car there and gets in with you. Understand?
They nodded, eyes narrowed, teeth bared. We reached the dirt road without seeing anyone, though the electric feeling intensified the closer we got. I gripped the steering wheel, knuckles turning white. My teeth were clenched, and I was angry. Jesse was already waiting for us, and she didn't hesitate, moving from her vehicle in with Chris and Rico, hair pulled back, staff clutched in her hands. I watched in the rearview mirror until she shut the door, then took off down the road, dust kicking up in plumes behind us. We passed the old house first. It stood as it always did. The house at the end of the lane was the same. Elizabeth and Mark were waiting for us on the porch, half-shifted, eyes bright, even in the sunlight.
Anything? I demanded as I threw open the door to the truck.
No, Mark said. No one has approached the house.
They will,
Elizabeth said, looking off into the trees. I walked backward toward the porch, scanning the tree line. Everything looked the same. The trees swayed. The birds sang. The territory felt like mine, like ours. But there was something else there, sliding along on top of it, not quite fitting, but close. I didn't know if this was Richard and Robert trying to trick us, because even though my skin was crawling, it felt like something I should recognize. But it was making me anxious, snappish. I wanted to prowl in front of the house, warning any intruders away. The others gathered behind us on the porch, spread out in the formation we had trained with so many times. They didn't need to be told. They just knew. The wolves were spread out among the humans, claws out and ready. I could feel their strength at my back, all of them, and I hoped whoever was stupid enough to come at us felt it too, before we made sure they wouldn't do it again. The electricity intensified.
It's coming from the north, Mark muttered. From the clearing.
It was also moving.
What is it?
Rico asked, sounding nervous.
I don't know, Mark said. It's almost like...
The wolves all tensed, hearing something we couldn't.
Four of them, Robbie growled. Moving fast.
Stand together, I said. Whatever it is, we stand together. I heard it now, in the forest. The footsteps, the running strides, a flash of color in the thick trees, something red and something orange, and it...
Oh my God,
Elizabeth said, because she understood first. Once, when it was just the two of us at the house, she'd decided it was time to play Dinah Shore again. Joe and the others had been gone for almost 2 years. She put the old record on, and while the singer crooned about being lonely, she looked at me and asked me to dance.
I don't know how, I said, trying not to blush.
Nonsense, she said. Everyone can if they count.
She took my hand. She moved slowly with me as she counted out the steps, my hand dwarfing hers. She moved us in a circle, the song repeating over and over again. When she no longer needed to count, when I felt the song seep into my bones, she said,
We stayed behind because we had to.
I stuttered in my step, but caught myself before it got out of control. She smiled quietly at me as I counted under my breath.
Then, did we?
We moved and swayed. She said,
We did. They didn't want to leave us, Ox. None of them. Joe, Gordo, Carter and Kelly, Thomas? Your mother? None of them wanted to leave.
They did, though. All of them.
Sometimes, she said as we spun lazily, the choices are taken out of our hands. Sometimes we don't want to leave, even though we feel we must.
He didn't have.
You think him selfish, she said. And you may be right. But never forget that everything he does, he also does for you. And there will come a time when you will see him again. It'll be up to you what happens next.
I'm angry, I admitted. So angry.
I know, she said, squeezing my hands. It's why we're dancing. I find it hard to be angry when I'm dancing. There's just something about it that doesn't foster rage.
Do you think?
What, Ox?
Do you think he'll come back?
She said, yes, I do. He'll always come back for you.
And we danced, and danced, and danced.
Oh my God,
Elizabeth Bennett said. What is it? Rico asked, voice higher than normal. Is it the bad guys? Is it the bad wolves?
No, Mark said. It's not. It's an alpha. It's...
Robbie's hand dropped onto my shoulder, claws piercing through my work shirt and dimpling my skin. It grounded me, made me realize I wasn't dreaming, that I was awake, since I couldn't feel pain in a dream. There was pain, sharp pain, that was mostly bearable.
Ox, Tanner said in a low voice, what do we do? What do we...
They didn't need to do anything. Four men walked from among the trees. All of them had their heads shaved. The one in the front, the alpha, had a beard, dirty blonde and full. He was the same size as the other two wolves, large and intimidating, moving with a grace he hadn't had before. The fourth man moved with them, smaller than the others, but his tattoos were as bright as they'd ever been, the raven fluttering on his arm. They all looked similar to each other. They wore dusty black jeans, scuffed boots, worn jackets. The man with the tattoos had his sleeves pushed up, exposing the bright colors on his arms. The other two wolves moved like they were orbiting their alpha, never more than a foot or two away. They approached slowly but surely, only stopping once their feet touched dirt. They took a formation much like our own, moving in sync with each other, the witch next to the alpha, the two betas on either side of them. It was practiced. They'd done it before. Many, many times. They stopped. We breathed. Joe. Carter. Kelly. Gordo.
Hey, hey there, you, hey guy.
None of my pack moved from behind me, though I could feel how much Elizabeth and Mark wanted to. They were waiting. For me.
Who are you?
Because we weren't one pack. We were two.
Ox? Ox, do you smell that?
Robbie's hand tightened on my shoulder. Joe, whose eyes had never left me from the moment he'd broken the tree line, glanced at Robbie's hand. His hands twitched slightly, and the skin around his eyes tightened briefly, but nothing more.
No, no, no. It's something bigger.
The others were there. I understood that. My brothers, Carter and Kelly. My friend and brother and father, Gordo. They were there. I hadn't seen them in 38 months. They disappeared into the wild and left us behind. But at that moment, I only saw Joe.
It's you. Why do you smell like that?
He was larger than he'd ever been in the life I'd known him before. He was roughly my size, and carried the weight of the alpha well. He'd once been tall and lean, still growing into the man he'd become. Now he was thick, the muscles in his arms and legs straining against the coat and sleeves. His chest was broad and wide. We were probably the same height now.
Where did you come from? Do you live in the woods? What are you? We just got here, finally. Where is your house?
This wasn't the boy I'd known, the one I'd first found on the dirt road. This was an alpha, pure and true. He was road-worn, the dark circles under his eyes stark against his pale skin, but his strength showed even as he stood there. The clumsy boy I'd known was gone, at least physically. I didn't know how much else of him remained.
We have to go see my mom and dad. They'll know what this is. They know everything.
I didn't know what to do. I didn't want to speak first, because I was sure I'd say something I'd regret, because I was so goddamned angry. Seeing him there, safe, sound, alive, it should have made me happier than I'd ever been. And it did. But the anger was stronger. My pack sighed behind me as my fury washed over them. And then, like he could hear every memory in my head of the day we'd first met, Joe Bennett said, "I'm sorry." His voice was deep, rough, strong. I played my part. "For?" he said, "for whatever just made you sad." I dream. Sometimes it feels like I'm awake, and then I'm not. And I had to remind myself we were not who we were then, the little boy on the dirt road, and the big dumb ox who was gonna get shit all his life. His voice cracked when he said, "You're awake now. Ox, ox, ox. Don't you see?" "See what?" he whispered, as if saying it any louder would make it untrue. "We're so close to each other." And it wasn't the same as before, as what he'd said when he was the little tornado on my back. But it was enough. Because we were. We were so goddamn close to each other. Closer than we'd been in over 3 years. And all I had to do was take that first step. All I had to do was open my arms and he could be there. If he wanted to be. If I wanted him to be. I didn't move. But he wasn't done. "Mom," he said, though his eyes never left mine. "Mom, you have to smell him. It's like, I don't even know what it's like. I was walking in the woods to scope out our territory so I could be like Dad, and then it was like..." He closed his eyes for a moment. We all held our breaths. He continued. "And then he was all standing there. And he didn't see me at first because I'm getting so good at hunting. I was all like rawr and grr. But then I smelled it again, and it was him. And it was all kaboom." He opened his eyes again. They were filling with the red of the alpha. "I don't even know. You gotta smell him and then tell me why it's all candy canes and pine cones. All epic and awesome." His voice died out. A lark sang from the trees. The grass swayed with the breeze. He said, "Ox." I said, "Alpha." And my voice barely contained my anger. He winced the slightest bit before nodding in return. "Alpha," he said. It wasn't repetition. It was acknowledgement. Because this wasn't his territory anymore. Somehow, it had become mine. Robbie flexed his hand gently on my shoulder. Joe's eyes darted to Robbie again, to his face, where he was touching me, back to me. He growled, a warning. This was a strange wolf he did not know touching me. Everyone tensed. Robbie snarled in response and, before I could stop him, vaulted over me, landing in front of the pack, crouched down, and teeth bared at the others. Carter and Kelly popped claws and fangs in response, crowding around Joe, waiting to see what Robbie would do. The others began to move behind, assuming tactical poses, ready to fight if need be, to protect their alpha should the others come after me. This wasn't how it was supposed to be. None of this was. I wasn't dreaming. I wasn't dreaming. I said, "Enough." Robbie sagged, as did Carter and Kelly. They stepped back, away from Joe. Gordo still hadn't moved, either to attack or to defend. Robbie looked sheepish, rubbing the back of his head as he stood. "I would do it again," he muttered. "I know," I said, "but you don't have to." He brushed against my shoulder as he resumed his place behind me. I looked back at Joe. "You're here." Short, to the point. "I am. We are." "Did you do what you set out to do?" A brief hesitation. Then, "No." That. I didn't know what to do with that. "Why not?" "Things change." "So all of this was for nothing?" "I wouldn't say that." "Look at you." "Look at me," I echoed. "Are we welcome?" he asked. And that was the most important question. Because an alpha of the territory had to give his consent to another pack. It was how things worked. But it shouldn't have to be with him. With them. "This is your home," I said through gritted teeth. "You don't have to ask that." "We do," Joe said, the red in his eyes fading to their normal blue, bright and wide. "You know that as well as I do, Ox. Especially now that you're... you." For the briefest of moments, I thought about saying no. "No, you aren't welcome here. No, we don't need you. No, we don't want to see you. Because you've been gone so long. You left us alone. You put others in front of us. You were selfish and cruel. We needed you. I needed you. I fucking needed you and you left." I said, "You're welcome here. All of you." Everyone relaxed the smallest amounts, except for Joe and me. "For how long?" Joe asked. A crack in the wall. "As long as it takes for you to decide to run again." It was out before I could stop it. The four of them looked as if I'd slapped them. I should have felt better about that. I didn't. "You can go to them," I said. And Elizabeth and Mark surged forward, brushing past me to get to their family. Gordo took a step back as Elizabeth grabbed her sons, holding them as close as she could, her arms barely able to reach across all three of them at the same time. She rubbed her face against each of their cheeks, wanting her scent on them and theirs on her. The alpha in me bristled at the thought of my pack smelling like another, but I pushed it away. It wasn't about that. Not for her. Mark ran his hands over their shorn heads, mingling his scent on top of Elizabeth's. Carter and Kelly were crying as they clung to their mother. Mark moved toward Gordo. Gordo didn't move. They stood staring at each other, speaking a silent language I wasn't a part of. Joe still hadn't looked away from me, even as his mother held him close. I said, "Your rooms are still yours. I expect you'll want to get some rest." And because I couldn't take it anymore, couldn't take his proximity anymore, I walked away. I closed the door to the old house behind me and sagged against it, trying to breathe. I hadn't been in here in the longest time. The house was in my name. Robbie had moved into the main house a while ago, so this one usually sat empty. We kept it, though, in case it was needed. In case we'd needed more room. If the pack expanded. If people came seeking sanctuary. If others came home. Elizabeth and the rest of the pack took turns cleaning the house, made sure it was aired out. While we usually shared responsibilities, this was one thing they wouldn't let me do. They knew how I felt here, about this place. Because even though it had long since been scrubbed away, I knew my mother's blood had soaked into the bones of this house. She was everywhere here. Most of her clothes had been donated after I'd given the okay. But there was more to her than what she wore. She was in every corner of this house. There were soap bubbles on my ear. She was nervous because the Bennets were coming over, and they were so fancy. She signed her name and dissolved her marriage. She stood with me in the kitchen, asking why I was crying. I told her I couldn't be crying, because I had to be a man now. She pointed on a map, showing where my friend had moved, saying no one ever really stayed in Green Creek. She was my pack, my first pack. "Ah," I said, trying to take in another breath. "Ah, ah." I slid down to the floor, my back against the door. I put my head on my knees. From where I sat, I knew I could look up and see the spot where she died, where she'd looked up at me with such steel in her eyes. She'd known she was going to go, and she went out on her own terms, giving me the smallest of chances to escape and howl for our pack. The shadows lengthened as the day wore on. I could feel the others, my pack, their joy, their confusion, their sadness, their anger. I couldn't feel Carter and Kelly like I used to. I didn't feel tied to Gordo like I had once been. Even if he hadn't been pack for most of the time I'd known about wolves, there'd always been something there between us, especially after he'd gifted me the work shirts when I'd turned 15. Joe, though, I could feel him, because he was an alpha, more than I ever was. This place, this territory, was rightfully his. And since, if he was back, it should be his again. I should have felt relieved at that, that the responsibility wasn't mine alone to bear anymore. And I did, mostly. But there was a part of me that said mine, 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 that this place, these houses, these people were mine. I banged my head against the door, trying to clear my thoughts. The shadows stretched farther, and that's when he approached. Even before I heard him, I felt him. I didn't focus on the bond, the thread. I didn't want to see how tattered it was between us, if it was even there at all. Something once growing stronger every day, now in shreds. I tried to keep my breaths even, my heart calm. I tried to make him go away without even saying a word. My breaths were short. My heart was stumbling. He didn't go away. He didn't speak, but he didn't go away. The porch creaked as he slowly climbed the steps. His hands were on the porch rail, fingers dragging along the chipped paint. He reached the top step and stood there for a beat. He took in a great breath and let it out slowly, taking in the scent of the territory, of this house, of me. I wondered if he could tell that I hadn't spent more than a few hours here since he'd left. I wondered if he could still smell the blood of my mother. He didn't speak. He took another step forward, and another, until he was standing in front of the door. He didn't knock. He didn't touch the doorknob. Instead, the door jerked slightly as he turned and leaned against it, sliding down like I'd done. He sat on the other side, our backs separated by 3 inches of oak. It wasn't very long before our breaths and hearts were in sync with each other. I tried to fight it, to stop it. It didn't work. I hated the peace I felt, the relief, the goddamned green relief that bowled over me, as if I ever really stood a chance against it. I held on to my anger as hard as I could. He stayed until I fell asleep. I woke as morning sunlight filtered in through the windows. I was warm and had a crick in my neck. I opened my eyes. I was still sitting against the door. My back hurt. Two wolves rested their head on my thighs. They both opened their eyes as I did, as if they'd been waiting for me to wake. A third wolf lay curled against my side, feet twitching as he dreamed. Elizabeth, Mark, Robbie. The others were there. Jessie was snoring softly, her arms wrapped around one of my legs. Tanner, Rico, and Chris were sprawled out around me, each with a hand touching me somehow. My foot, my hand, my stomach. No one else. Joe wasn't against the door. I hadn't heard him leave. I didn't hear the others come in. Mark had closed his eyes again, breathing deep and slow. Elizabeth still watched me. I ran my fingers over her ears. She flicked them at me, huffing quietly. "I don't know what to do," I said quietly, so as not to wake the others. She blinked. "I'm angry, and I don't know how to let that go." She sneezed. "Gross," I said. She nosed against my hand. "Needy," I said, rubbing the skin between her eyes. She snorted. "You're here," I said, "with me." She looked at me as if wondering how I could say something like that, while sounding stupidly shocked. And she probably was. I'd had years to get used to the facial expressions of wolves. "You should be with them." She bit my hand gently between her teeth, shaking her head back and forth. All I got from her was pack, sun, love. I knew what she was doing. She and the others were showing where their loyalties lay. It made things better, and that much worse. I didn't want this divide, and as long as I felt this way, as long as I let my anger spiral out of control, my pack would suffer for it. Thomas had taught me that the pack was an extension of the Alpha, and that whatever he felt, they did too. More so when it came to a particularly strong emotion. All I felt now were strong emotions. She closed her eyes again and sighed, resting her head on my leg. Soon, she slept again. I didn't move for a long time, surrounded by my pack. Chapter 27. Like a wolf, they bled here. "Looks good," Gordo said, standing in the doorway to the office. I froze because I hadn't heard him approaching. It had been 3 days since they'd come back, and I had done my damnedest to avoid, at least until I could sort out my own head. I stayed in the old house. Joe and the others stayed in the main house. Elizabeth and Mark went between, but when night fell, we stayed in our separate houses. I didn't know what was going to happen at the full moon, which was only a few days away. Hopefully, I'd have made a decision on how to proceed by then, or gotten my head out of my ass. Same difference. Robbie had called back east to let Alpha Hughes know Joe and the others had returned. She had questions that needed to be answered, but Robbie couldn't. He hadn't really spoken with Joe, aside from their initial confrontation outside the house on the first day. He spent most of his time at home with me, in the old house. The rest of the pack came and went, as they normally did. They felt the pull toward me, but not as strong as the wolves. While it was common for the human members to be gone all at the same time, I usually had a wolf or two with me. But I hadn't spoken with them, hadn't even really seen them aside from a glimpse or two. There was a moment when I was coming back from the garage that I came face to face with Carter near the old house, and all I could think about beyond his rough exterior was the way he'd laughed after Joe had found out Carter had kissed me first, the way they'd run through the forest, the way Kelly had called me Dad in that wry tone of his. Everything had seemed so simple then. Carter had opened his mouth to say something, but I just nodded and sidestepped around him. I thought he was going to reach out and stop me, but he didn't. though I could feel him staring after me as I went inside and closed the door behind me. I didn't see Joe, but that didn't mean he wasn't watching. I didn't ask Elizabeth or Mark about them. They didn't volunteer anything. But if they weren't in the old house, I knew where they were.
"Looks good," Gordo said, and I froze over the expense invoices I'd been staring at for the last hour.
I looked up at him slowly, a weird deja vu washing over me to see him standing there, like he was coming in to check on me to see how my homework was going. He wouldn't let me out on the garage floor unless I could list off 7 facts about fucking Stonewall Jackson. And it's not that hard, Ox. You can do this. Come on. Except this Gordo wasn't that Gordo. This Gordo was harder than the other Gordo had ever been. There were lines around his eyes, more pronounced than before. He was 38 years old now. The last 3 years hadn't been kind, though he was bigger than he'd been before. I didn't know if it had to do with the pack he was in, or if they'd done nothing but work out the entire time they were gone. It was his eyes, though, that threw me the most. They'd always been vibrant, bright, quick to flash in anger, quick to light up when he was happy. Now they were dull and flat, slightly sunken. This was a Gordo who'd lived hard the past 3 years. I didn't want to know the things he'd seen, the things he'd done. This new image of him wasn't helped with what he wore. He wasn't in his usual shop gear. No work shirt with his name stitched on the breast. No navy dickies. He wore jeans and a tank top, stretched tight across his chest. A beat-up brown leather jacket, the collar curved up around his neck.
"Yeah," I said, because I didn't know how else to start. "We've done all right."
The "no thanks to you" was left unsaid. But he heard it, even if I hadn't meant for it to be out there like that. He nodded, running a hand up the frame of the door, fingers picking at a little sliver of paint.
"Better than that, I expect."
"We haven't gone under, if that's what you were worried about."
"No, didn't think you would."
He cracked a smile that I didn't return.
"Never worried about that, kiddo."
I looked back down at the invoices, unsure of what to say next. He sighed and moved into the office, dragging his hands along everything he could reach. I recognized it as the habit of a wolf when they wanted to get their scent on something or someone. The Bennetts had done it when they'd come into my house the first time, sprawling over and touching everything they could, Joe especially. When he'd gone to my room, when he'd seen the stone wolf sitting on my... No. I wasn't.
"You act like them," I said, rather than follow that train of thought.
"Like a wolf. Move like them, too." He arched an eyebrow at me.
"Pot? Kettle."
That wasn't an accusation.
I didn't say it was one.
I don't... He waited. I couldn't say that, because I did. If anything, I was more wolf than he was. Even though he'd been immersed in it more, especially over the last 3 years, he'd been entrenched, and I'd... Well, I did what I had to do.
And you won't hear anyone say otherwise.
This was surreal.